If your Bible's with you, turn to Ephesians chapter 4. This month we will be talking about spiritual gifts for all four Sundays, so you'll be hearing something about it. I know for sure next Sunday we'll be talking about spiritual gifts 101. So today we want to look at exactly what is the meaning of spiritual gifts. So as we think about that and we look this morning in Ephesians chapter 4. And if you look at the beginning of your chapter, I don't know about your book, but in mine it says in the headlines up there, unity in the body of Christ. And as we look at that, and we're going to jump down to verse 7, and as we look at verse 7 and begin reading, we see these words. But to each one of us, grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. This is why it says, when he ascended on high, he led captives on his train and gave gifts to men. What does his sin mean except that he also descended to the lower earthly regions? He who descended is the very one who ascended higher than all the heavens in order to fill the whole universe. It was he who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, and some to be pastors and teachers, to prepare God's people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up until we reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Then we will no longer be infants, tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of men and their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will in all things grow up into him who is the head of that is Christ. From him the whole body, joined and held together by itself up in love, as each part does its work. So I tell you this, and insist on it in the Lord, that you must no longer live as the Gentiles do in the futility of their making. May God add a blessing upon this reading. As we think about that, the deacons have been meeting with myself, and we have decided that we're going to meet more than once a month. We're looking at what God is calling this church to do. God has great things for this church. God has great things for this community, and we want to be a part of that. And if we're going to be a part of it, then we need to know what's going to happen. So we have been getting together. We're beginning starting once every 2 weeks, meeting instead of once a month, looking for God's will, not only in our lives, but also the life of this church. And as we began to think about that, we went back to the second chapter of Acts. And as we looked, we saw what that church was doing. You notice we did not go to some of the writers of today to see what they say were the growth spurts of the church. But what we went to was to scriptures to see why did the early church work and where did we go wrong? Where did we turn and miss a turn and not follow with it? If we look at that scriptures in the Acts, we see that that church was growing in spirit. And because of the spirit and the unity that the church was having, the fellowship, the breaking of bread, the Bible studies and the prayers and the things that they were doing on a daily basis, thousands were added daily. Now, why is that not happening today? Why are we not seeing those types of results today? As we look at that, this is what we're asking ourselves as deacons. This is what we're asking as leaders, the spiritual leaders. What is it that it's going to take for this church to grow in Christ Jesus? And it's going to have to be the same way. That means that everybody in this church has to be involved. God has given everyone at least one spiritual gift, if not more. That means that in the early church, everybody was working. Unfortunately, statistics say that 90% of the work, if that much of it is even done, is done by only 10% of the people. Now, everything I read in the scriptures is totally different from that. We don't have those kinds of statistics. It says that they were in bread together, unity together, fellowship, praying together daily. We're not doing that. So this morning as we look at this, I want us to see that believers will commit and need to commit to serving the church and God in this community. That what the Bible teaches us about spiritual gifts, we will begin to use it. Now, I'm not going to embarrass anybody, because I know there are people that don't know what their spiritual gifts are. I know that. You know that. You may be one of those persons and wouldn't want to raise your hands. But what I'm hoping and praying for this day is this, that we will begin to actively search and know what those spiritual gifts are. That we will begin to look and seek God's will, and He will reveal it to us, and then we can begin doing what God has called us to do. Angie and I have a dear friend from our last church. Miss Joyce is one that I know that when I need somebody to pray for me, that's the number one person. That's the very first person I'm going to call. Why? Because Joyce is a prayer warrior. Joyce has many talents. She has many things that she can do, but the one thing that I know she can do is pray. And I have heard her say that, you know, God just put on my heart, and I got up at 2 o'clock in the morning, and I got on my knees, and I prayed for you. That's a prayer warrior. That's a gift that she has used. She has a gift for caring. She takes people with an old broken down car that you and I wouldn't even think about trying to back it out of our driveway, much less take it somewhere. And she will pick people up and take that old broken down car and go all over Richlands, and has even prayed it out to Bristol and back. God has provided. She called and said it had finally bitten the last bit. There was just no hope, the mechanic said. She prayed about it, says, God, what am I going to do? I got people to take to doctors and places here. What am I going to do? I can't afford to buy a new car. God revived that car, folks. That car is still running, and she is still taking people. And mechanics are going, wow, what is happening here? What's going on? So as we think about what is it that God gives to each one of us that will help us that, four things quickly this morning that will help us that. Number one, each believer is given spiritual gifts. In verse 7 he says, but to each one of us grace has been given as Christ appropriated it. He has given us gifts is what he's saying. Everybody in this church has been given a gift. It may not be singing. It may not be playing the piano or the organ or leading the music. It may not be preaching. And yes, we see that it said teaching and preaching. But I'm into the firm belief that every one of us are teachers. As parents, we teach our children, don't we? If we are sharing the Word of God, we're teaching somebody about the love of God. So we're teaching all the time, aren't we? We're teachers. No, we might not be Sunday school teachers or certified teachers, but we are always teaching God's words. But God has said, I have given it to you. In 1 Corinthians 12:11, all these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and He distributes them to each one just as He determines. I don't know what your gift is, but God does know what your gift is, and He wants to give it to you. Each believer's gift is given by grace. We didn't earn it. It's not because of how many Sundays we were in Sunday school or how many classes we took. You remember the Southern Baptists give those certificates, and you got red stars and blue stars and silver stars for taking those classes. That don't matter. It simply means He gave it to us. Spiritual gifts are not earned, but they are what? Merit. God gives it to us whether we deserve it or not. And He gave it to us. Different gifts are different to individuals. The Holy Spirit alone is the source of the spiritual gifts. Who would have thought that when I was 18 years old, I would be standing in front of a congregation preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ? When I was not even a person that would stand in front of anybody for any reason, for anything. Who would have thought that I would be where I am today? And I thank God that He's given it to us. Spiritual gifts are not given for profit, but it's given to the whole church to use for profit of our Lord Jesus Christ. The second thing we see this morning, each believer is given spiritual gifts in order to help the body operate efficiently. Now, I'm not one in school, and I didn't do well in science, but I do understand this, that the feet cannot move by themselves. Something has to tell them feet to move. And it takes from the brain all the way down, all the muscles, all the nerves, all the ligaments, everything has to be told. It has to do something, doesn't it? You can move your feet, But your knees have got to move too, don't they? They've got to pick it up and move it. And look at how many other things that are having to be moved. In the military, when we did drills, we had to also swing our hands as we moved. We also had to count. Look at all the things and all of the parts of the body that's being used. And this is the same illustration God is telling us. There are many parts of the body. There are many parts in this church that need to function. And each one of them has to function without and with the other one, I mean. We all have to work together in unity. This is what it's called. And it has to. Now, the feet have a special job. They carry us. They carry us. Simply that. They pick us up, the whole body, and it carries us. Without the feet, we don't usually get anywhere, do we? Unless you've got a people that have those little scooters that they put on it and they use their hands to get around, or we have artificial limbs. But other than that, without our feet, we have nothing. We cannot move from place to place, can we? And some people cannot talk without their hands either, can they? If you tied them down here like this, they couldn't talk. So you see, everything is dependent on what? Each other. For instance, your fingers have to pick up a pencil. Look at how many parts are in this that has to do that. Are we beginning to see the picture? This is what God is saying. Every part of us, every one of us in this church is part of that body. And that party means that we have to work together. And that is what he's called. We have to be effective with what we do. Now, I've seen a lot of coal miners when I was in Richlands. And many of them have gotten banged up, bruised up, broken bones. And very few of them come out without any of that. And I see people that are walking with limps that and arms that are mangled because they've been messed up in the coal mines. But they are still functioning with it. But God says that if you will let me lead you, I will make you so that you can work effectively. That you can do what I've asked you to do. Different ministries are assigned to us. The third thing that we see is each spiritual gift is given with particular goals in mind. One of the first questions I asked our deacons, what is our vision? What is our goal? What is the purpose of Withville Baptist Church? As we thought about that, Proverbs says, a people without a vision perish. That word perish means die. No existence. What is our vision? Now, I know that several said that we had worked on that before I came here, and we're still looking to contact all that and get all that together. But what is the vision of this church for God? What is the vision that He is calling us to do this morning? What is it He wants this body to do? And part of that is to reach out into this community, to serve and to share. And so we have to have it. To equip is what we need to be doing. Equipping people, verse 12 says, His people for works of service. We are to learn what God wants us to do, be trained in it, and then do what? Go out into it. When I was in the Navy, I was trained to be a boat coxswain. Simply put, to drive a boat. And many of you have seen the war movies where they take those little boats and they drive them into the beach and they drop the ramps and the Marines run off of them. And that's all you ever see about them boats, but you have to pick those ramps back out and get out of the way for the next wave. You have to learn how to do that. And I was trained to do that. That was my job, was to know how to put that boat on there, drop that ramp down so that those Marines could run off and get out of the way for the next wave. I also was the one that drove the motor well boat, the lifeboat, which was used to, in case somebody fell overboard and we had to recover it, I had to know how to get up there and get that person and pull them into our little boat, come back and pick them up and pick us all up and take us back on ship. Train to do it. In everything that we do today, we have to what? Train. We have to learn. We have to take classes, don't we? I'm still learning from others about computers. If I read it and did it, I would be more lost than I am now. I'm still lost now. I just kind of bang around and find my way through. But you have to learn and stay up on it and read about it and learn about it and have people to teach you all the time. I'm of the concession now that if you have a phone or a computer and you have any trouble, just go get any five-year-old, bring them to your house, and they'll teach you all about it. But we can't do it. We have to be taught. And this is what he's calling us. We are to teach, to equip. Why? So that the body of Christ may be built up. Is our churches being built up today? Are they building up Christ? No. I'm going to be honest. No, we're not. Because we see that baptisms are down. We see that church membership is down. We're seeing that interest in church is down. We're seeing that even an interest in Jesus Christ is down. And as surveys have been taken, why? It is because of the attitude of the Christians. We're not loving as Christ has called us to do, to love. We took communion. He died on the cross. He loved us so much. And yet, are we that loving too? I used to think that church was a place we came to worship, to take classes, to be trained, and to be sent out into this world. But the more I'm in church, I realize that we come in, we worship. And sometimes we don't even do that. We just go through the motions, and then we leave. We're not learning, we're not training, and we're not sending out. And this is part of what he's called to do. This is what he's called us. The purpose of each gift is to help the body grow. Each one of us. When I was in the Navy, we were taught, if you have a weak chain in any length in your chain, you would take that length out because of the possibility of it breaking. And therefore, they were saying that the chain itself is as strong as the weakest link. If we are changed this morning, what about our weak link? We're only as strong as our weakest link. God wants us to work all of it. And as we do, we will see the last thing this morning. Each gifted member of the body is vital to the whole body. It's wonderful. It's wonderful for Jimmy to play the piano, the organ. It's good music. Oh, I could sit there and listen to it all day. I really could. But is that more important than anything else that God has given us? No. I could listen to Billy Graham preach all day. But is Billy Graham is more important than anybody else in this world? No. What did God say? He said each one is vital for what? The whole body. Each one of us are important. Not just one or two, but everybody in this room is vitally important to God. And that is what he wants us to do. The whole body is held together. Verse 16a says, for him the whole body joined and held together by ever-supporting ligament. As a child, I remember playing this game. And this game, we'd have two sides. And we'd choose up the sides. And then one would run down to this end, and they'd form a line up that way. And the other one stay here in a line. Anybody guessing what game it is now? We'd all reach over, and we'd lock arms together. And we would shout for them to send one person over. And that person's object was to do what? Break the chain. Exactly. If they couldn't, what happened? They became. And the object of the game was to have what? Everybody on one team. Locked arms. And we would work together to do what? To keep that person from breaking through. Well, folks, that's the game we're playing right now. Satan is running. This way. Satan is going to break the chain. That's his job. Now, are we going to hold firm or are we going to let him break through? The only way that he can break through is when we're not in God's will. When we're not doing what God has called us to do, then we're not doing it. We have to have a vital part in everything that we do. Now, as I was chosen to go and run to get the other one, the thing I would do is I would always try to look, now who is the weakest? Where is the weakest part of that lineup? And that's where I headed to. You don't think Satan isn't doing that today? Where is the weakest? He's not looking for the strongest. He's looking for the weakest area, and then from there he can tear down everything else. Jesus said in verse 16c, as each part does its work. The question this morning as we close is simply this: is each one of us doing our part? Statistically, no. 90% of the work is done by 10% of the congregation or the members. So the question becomes, is each part doing its work? Is each one of us doing what God has called us to do? Have we found that gift? And as I said, I'm not going to ask you who has found their gift. This is between you and God this morning. But I read in the Religious Herald where two more churches have closed their doors this year, this week. Two more churches, Baptist churches, Protestant churches, that believe in Jesus Christ, have shut their doors and said, we'll have no more services. That's happening more and more every day. Could it happen to this church? Yes, it could. Are we going to let it happen? No, we're not. We're going to trust in God. And we're going to be looking at spiritual gifts for the next month. And we're going to be looking at how we can help one another build up the body of our Lord Jesus Christ by helping each one of us find our part, our job. We also have, you'll hear all month this, the same thing, our equipping team, which is the old nominating committee, will be looking for people to serve this year. And as they're looking, wouldn't it be great and wouldn't it be easier on them instead of them having to find someone? If you would say, God has given me this gift, how can I put it to use for him? You think that committee or that team would want to serve again next year? You better believe it. But when we have to find people to do it, when we have to coach people or con people into doing it, that's not God's will. So the question is, are we doing, am I doing what God has called me to do? Let us pray. Father, we thank you for this day that you've given us and an opportunity to hear your word. And Father, you have said that you have given us different gifts for the building up of the kingdom of our Lord Jesus Christ, for all of us to be in unity and to work together for your fulfillment. So help us now. Begin in me. Begin in each person here, Father, that we may do our part that you have called us to do, not for Wythville Baptist Church, but for the Church of Jesus Christ, who is the head of the church. For we pray these things in your name. Amen.